reconvene this meeting of the Lane County Board of Commissioners. And a reminder, we are not on video.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. We're audio.
We're not on video. We're recording by this, this device.
That's up Eugene's meeting.
Yeah, no, that's true. Appreciate it.
And
Yeah, don't listen to me.
That might be kind of fun to go.
When you say something interesting, I'll flip.
Entertainment value. That's, so since we're not on video, I'll ask for a roll call. Commissioners, Commissioner Lycan? Just a verbal roll call.
Here.
Commissioner
Bovich. You want to state our name?
Yeah, state your name, please.
The recorder can actually have their name.
All right, Sid Lycan, Springfield District.
Jay Bozovich, West Lane.
Steve Mokrzyski, County Administrator.
Pete Sorensen, Lane County Commissioner, South Eugene District.
Dave Stewart, County Commissioner, East Lane District.
Pat Farr.
Anne Marie Levis, PIO.
Alex Kyler, Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager.
Paul Hubbard, Register Card.
Thank you. We're that is the extent of the folks present here today, and we'll step back to county administration. 7A announcements, and we were in the middle of a conversation. Mr. Mokrzyski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were talking about Senator Wyden's proposed bill. There are two bills, as we discussed, a one-year re-up of the SRS and PILT payments, and then a 10-year separate bill, which is for a 10-year extension. So our plan, and we'd like some direction from the board, if you would like to do a support letter for the 10-year extension. If so, we would bring that forward next week, I believe. And as Commissioner Lycan suggested, that it would be a letter to all of our congressional delegation.
Commissioner Sorensen.
Since we had the earlier discussion, I got an email back from Dr. Badeau. Is that how you pronounce his name? Do you know him?
Yeah.
No. He is the Deputy Legislative Director for the National Association of Counties. And here's what he said. Good afternoon,
Paul Badeau,
Commissioner
right.
Sorensen. That's East Coast time today.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Senator Wyden has held off introducing his proposed legislation pending discussions, negotiations with other senators. I think it is his hope to win over at least one Republican co-sponsor before introducing it. There is to date no House counterpart, though we hear rumblings that conversations are taking place with a view to putting a proposal on the table. So my understanding is that that you know there isn't a bill yet. There's a proposal. It does involve the Payments in Lieu of Taxes Act, which does affect us, the SRS, which greatly affects us, and also the creation of a National Park Trust, a Federal Waters Trust, and expansion of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. So it is a pretty big piece of legislation. I guess we should see what it is before we commit to it.
Thank you.
All right.
Commissioner Bozovich.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that the 10-year reauthorization involves more than just SRS and PILT, and I think we need to take a close look at it. I would strongly support a letter in support of the one-year reauthorization of SRS and PILT. I think if we go beyond the one-year reauthorization, then we're taking pressure off of some other issues that we have strongly supported, which is trying to come to some resolutions on our federal forest management, which are long-term solutions also. But I do think it would be great if we could quickly get resolution on the re-up from the next year, because I don't think we'll get to it. Any resolution on the other issues in the next year, and the sooner we can know about SRS reauthorization, the sooner we can plan our budget.
Okay. Thank you. Further discussion?
I'd just like to maybe hear from Alex and get his thoughts on this. I know he's been following it as well, so what...
Thanks. And thanks again for coming down earlier. Sorry we didn't have time to get to it.
So, commissioners, I think there are two separate concepts floating around in D.C. Actually, there's three. Really, there's two in the Senate. One is for a one-year reauth of SRS and PILT. The second is this 10-year concept that Commissioner Sorensen, I think, well explained the various elements of that. I talked to our lobbyist, Brett Garson. He seems to think it's probably going to be the 1 year that moves in the lame duck. Seems to me like we would want to do a letter of support for both concepts and to the entire delegation. And I say that because there's also a House letter that's being distributed that is urging the House of Representatives to take up the issue of both PILT and SRS reauthorization. So, you know, in my mind, I think given where we are in our fiscal year and the lame duck session, it would really be important for us to express our support for something to occur, because at this point in time, you know, your 15 budget is based on actual revenue, harvest revenue, $800,000 to the road fund and a little bit more, 1.5, I think, million to the general fund. So mm-hmm. without some sort of SRS, we're really going to be in you know, sort of where we feared we've going to be for the last sort of 5 years when we've been on this sort of 1 year-ish type reauthorization. I think the 10-year is a good, looks like a fairly comprehensive effort, and according to the email I saw, there's the senator has figured out how it would be paid for. But again, I think we'd be well served by having a letter of support for both the 1 year and the 10-year proposals, given the, you know, we are one of the largest recipients of these dollars in the nation, and I think it's important that Lane County weighs in.
So you're recommending two letters, one for the 1 year, one for the 10 year. The 1 year seems to be a little bit more urgent at this point in time because we're up against a lame duck session, and that's something I think we could probably bring to the board next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday. Sorry. It's not on the agenda currently, but we could bring it up in
we have a placeholder for it on the, you know, with Diana.
Okay.
To say,
excellent,
you know, letters to the federal delegation, and I think what we would do is, you know, one set of letters to the senators and one set to the representatives.
So do we have, could we get both out for next week? Both letters out for next week? You have time to do them well, okay. Commissioner Lycan.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Alex, is Brett recommending the letter on the 10-year or the letter on the 1 year?
I didn't, Commissioner Lycan, I didn't really,
Who's Brett?
Brett Garson
works for Smith Dawson Andrews. I didn't pose that question specifically. I suggested we were going to write a letter of support. His analysis, if you will, was it will likely be that the 1 year. I mean, heck, they just did a CR that only lasts until December.
Yeah.
They're really in sort of that mode of very short term sort of, and that's just the mode they are. So to the extent that there would be a 10-year permanent, they're calling it a permanent thing, mm-hmm. I just think is probably less likely. That said, I think it's an opportunity for us to describe, you know, our situation and how what we understand about the 10-year being based on 150% of FY11 years would really be a fairly decent thing for us combined between the two, the road fund and general fund, about $20 million a year. That would solve an enormous amount of problems for us.
So quick follow-up. I guess my suggestion would be that I think the 1 year is urgent. I think that's something we should definitely to send out. What I would like, maybe if Alex, if you could communicate with Brett, maybe get his thought, because he knows D.C. a lot better than we do. Maybe get his thought if a letter for the 10-year, if maybe that's warranted now. Because here's the deal. We're going to send two separate letters anyway. And so the 1 year makes a lot of sense right now. I personally would be supportive of a 10-year, but to me it's about timing. And this is really not, it's a draft at this point in time, so it's not a bill introduced. And you know, and I'm not so sure that it would take the heat off. I really do believe that there's commitment from both on the Senator Wyden and Congressman DeFazio on this, and along with Schrader and Walden. It's just a matter of what it's going to look like. I mean, let's face it, they're talking about anywhere from 350 to 550 board million board feet, not 1.3 billion. So no matter what, I mean, it's nothing near what it was 25 years ago. So I would actually think, I think we're justified to wait on the 10-year, have you communicate with Smith, Dawson, Andrews, get their thoughts on it. If they suggest that maybe the timing's not right, I think I'm okay. You know, I would be okay with that. But it sounds like to me the 1 year, they're saying, yes, send that, and send it the entire delegation. That's my thought here, and, you know, I'll look forward to my colleagues.
That seems prudent to me. And, Alex, it seems that you'd be able to get a draft out or a letter out pretty easily on the 1 year, and then maybe a draft on the 10 year sometime subsequent to that. Is that basically what you're asking for?
Right. I can easily do the letters. These are very similar to things that we've done in the past. We did get a NACO action alert yesterday.
Yeah.
And basically they're not really recommending one over the other. They're saying stress the importance of SRS and PILT to your MOT.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the NACO line at this point in time is not necessarily one over the other, just express the need for SRS.
Commissioner Stewart, then Commissioner Swanson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The thoughts I have on this is, first, I haven't received any comments from ONC. They haven't analyzed it or given any direction. I don't know if the urgency behind this, if we need to have something out this next week, but as soon as I get information, I'll forward it to you and the rest of the board as to other comments. I look at this as, I've been in the trenches here now 10 years, Commissioner Sorensen more. Quite frankly, we have an opportunity. The way I look at the 10-year is it's the bridge funding that's needed for some sort of a management bill. It's not excessive. It's at a level that was being contemplated for the bridge funding for 4 or 5 years with any other funding mechanism as or around management of the forest. I believe personally that the federal government's going to have to step up and address the fact that we've burnt thousands of acres, we've burnt homes. There needs to be some real effort put into how do we manage our forests to try to reduce those impacts. That's going to take place whether we get funding or not. They also are motivated by job creation. And so I think that those two items still exist and will drive the conversation as to where we're going. I mean, you look at the Deception Creek fire alone, burned up almost 8,000 acres. The majority of that was old growth, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are people going to be excited about our old growth burning up? This is a perfect example of our management plan not working and the ability to reduce that. I mean, so I believe that's where the push is to make this happen. If we opt to put all of our eggs in a one-year opportunity and we see like what took place a few years ago where they bifurcated PILT and SRS, and guess what? PILT got funded for a longer term and we got stuck with the shorter term and we were in stress mode for a long period of time. I don't want to see us do that again. If we have a true opportunity to get 10 years, this is not going to solve our problem. We're still going to have issues budgetarily wise, meeting services, and most importantly, how do we reduce the carbon being emitted in fires and all these other things and preserving the old growth forest. We're going to have a management plan. So I want to caution us to say we want to support one. I think we'd be fools if we didn't try to push them both if there's an opportunity
okay.
for either one.
I heed to your wisdom.
Okay. Commissioner Sorensen.
I think on the short term, we should get a letter ready on the one-year reauthorization of PILT and SRS. I agree with Commissioner Stewart that we should keep PILT and SRS together. I think we are harmed to not join the problems of counties in the arid west, including Eastern Oregon, including Nevada, including other important states. I guess we're all equally important, but states that have a bigger arid geography. And those counties, and I've worked on this issue for many years, those counties are about as knowledgeable about our problems as we are about theirs. And I think that it is important that we build a coalition of all of those counties to point out the relative unfairness of having huge amounts of federal land that's not taxable in your county. So I think the 1 year is pretty straightforward. I think the other one is very murky and seems to be murky and moving. So it's not even murky, and if you could understand it, you would eventually understand it, but it's also changing. And to me, I'd like to see a summary of this bill. This is a massive piece of legislation. I don't think there's been any, you know, bill introduced. I don't think there's, not that it's a bad idea. It could be a great idea. But I think that we also are somewhat protectors of process, and I think it'd be great to see, you know, a summary of the bill or a summary of the proposed bill. Have you get a summary or write a summary? Ideally, someone else has written a summary. And maybe NACO, maybe somebody has written a summary of this. And I think that, that the fact that it hasn't been introduced and there the House and Senate are at loggerheads about many things doesn't really mean that we shouldn't be cautious about reviewing federal legislation. The 1 year, I think we all see it as a present budget issue. We've been involved in the issue for many years. It involves two federal land county programs, doesn't involve the management of the national forest, doesn't involve the management of the national parks, doesn't involve the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Lots of other things. So to me, let's get the letter out and tell the congressional delegation, not just the three that represent our part, but the other four that don't represent our part of the state, but still represent the state, and really make it clear that's where we. But I think we should be a lot more thoughtful about what is going to happen on this bigger piece of legislation. For example, what is the Rivers Trust or Water Trust? What is that? Is that like the Land and Water Conservation Fund to fund the efforts of the federal government and local governments to acquire water rights or to use water for wildlife purposes? Or what is this Water Trust?
Chairman Farr, Commissioner Sorensen, I'm not sure what the Water Trust is specifically. I can tell you that, you know, I think you've now received sort of a section by section of this bill. My understanding is that the senator has not released how the thing would be paid for, but is confident that it can be paid for. This leads me to speculate that what we've seen over the last several months is the senator positioning himself closely with senators from Alaska, Louisiana, and West Virginia to try to pool money from natural resource extraction on federal lands into a fund that would then pay for, sort of in the broader scheme of things, these kinds of impacts that you're well aware of where counties struggle with federal lands, whether they're freshwater rivers, whether they're the Gulf of Mexico, whether they're Alaskan federal forests or Oregon federal forests. So it won't surprise me if we see this sort of play out as to be an evolution of that conversation that there's been some hearings on already in Environment and Natural Resources. We may not know the details by the next meeting. It may be, especially in a lame duck, something that sort of comes together as a negotiated settlement attached to a larger bill. I'll try to find out those as much as I can before the board meeting, but like I said, at least what I'm seeing is the stage has been set for a broader conversation. But Senator Wyden, I think, has done an admirable job of setting that stage for pooling these natural resource revenues and trying to find what he's termed a permanent solution, a permanent funding mechanism for SRS and PIL.
Thank you. Commissioner Boothby.
I just want to echo Commissioner Sorensen that I agree that we ought to get something out fairly quickly on the 1 year. I think we need to know more detail about what the 10-year plan is. And, you know, my concern is you have to have 277 votes to get anything through Congress. And the West does not contain 277 votes. And particularly Oregon doesn't contain 277 votes, and we are the only ONC state. You know, and a 10-year plan that deals with PILT and SRS on that length of a basis will make it very difficult to make to bring home to a Massachusetts representatives understanding of the impact to the West of not dealing with federal land management.
Even if we combine with arid counties.
Yeah. I have my concerns there, but I'd be willing to look at the 10-year plan, but I want to see it. You know, I don't want to just blindly say I'm okay with the 10-year plan, and then I find out the way he's combining revenues and all that from natural resource extraction from federal lands is in a way that's going to suppress the actual extraction of those natural resources to the point where it hurts our economy and we have we go into a recession. You know, I haven't seen that analysis yet, so I don't want to just blindly support that. I do believe that we send that 1 year letter about, and it can be very broad enough, not just about 1 year, but also just in dealing with this issue in general, talking about the impact of what SRS and PILT mean to Lane County. Mm-hmm. And it goes to not, and the NACO action is requesting that goes not just to your delegation, but it goes to the Speaker and the Senate leader and the minority leaders also. So it should really go out to 11 people. And I think we need to talk, I think we have to be pretty frank in the letter. I think we need to say, without SRS next year, we will not have a patrol division, mm-hmm. because that's basically what we're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. And make kind of clear how desperate we are to have that re-up in time and not have it become a political football. But I fully support getting a 1 year and a general support letter for SRS and PILT. We don't need to talk about the 10-year plan or specific bill, but about resolving that. I do appreciate that it may take more than a year to resolve federal forest management, and there may still be a need in the long term for a lowered subsidy because we won't get back to 1 million board feet out of the ONC lands. A billion. Yeah. Sorry, wrong number of zeros. But
sure.
But I think the more urgent thing right now is to get something out, talking about the 1 year and talking about the impact of SRS and PILT to Lane County.
And your thought about it, real frank wording on it, talking in, I'm a firm believer in talking in terms people understand, and whereas people in Massachusetts don't understand forest management, perhaps, they do understand patrol, one would hope. Yeah. Steve, did you have something to say then
no,
Faye?
Just to say, I think we, if I'm hearing it right, I think we have
okay. I just wanted to, add to comments. I want us to be mindful about the 10-year plan. I agree. I haven't seen it. That was in the details. May not support it. But I'm just afraid. I was hearing, comments that let's just focus on the 1 year because that keeps the forest management thing on the burner. And I'm just really concerned with that. I've been here 10 years. That's been the motto of what's taken place. I don't think that's viable. What's potentially being projected as the effort in the 10-year is certainly not a fix for the problem. So I just want us to don't get locked into one direction on this. And every management plan that I've seen that's got healthy forest initiatives and other bills that have been passed in the federal government around forest management has really been focused on fires and forest health and community health. And I have to tell you, if we can't promote the real concerns about this past year. We still got fires in California that are raging and shipping thousands of people down there to fight them, and tons of people being evacuated. Hundreds of homes burn up to date. That has to be the strongest point that our federal government needs to adopt a management plan.
Have Sid then Pete, but let's drop the cue for a minute. Just talk back and forth, and if that's all right with everybody, let's.
So my thought on this is, if the letter can, I guess we don't have to necessarily focus on a 10-year plan or even the draft. What if the letter were to suggest, okay, we agree on the urgency of the 1 year. And I think Jay's suggestion on without this, we lose patrol and this type of thing. But let maybe include in the letter, though, something along the, and I don't write letters, I'm not very good at this, but along the lines of, but Lane County is prepared to work with our leadership, the delegation, on a longer term proposal, not even mentioning a 10-year, but instead a longer term, continue to be engaged in what this would mean for the future. I know that I've been fortunate enough to have some one-on-ones with Jeff Michaels, who's Senator Wyden's chief of staff. And one of the things I did ask him to do is seriously take a look at Lane County is literally the largest receiver of these dollars in the United States. What if you use Lane County as your central point and build it out from there? And he didn't give me a commitment, but it kind of looking at what they're focusing on as far as county revenue, that's kind of where they're going. And I think Commissioner Stewart was absolutely correct that 10-year model that he's looking at, that they're looking at, is the 2011. And it's while it's not where we were between 2000 and 2006, it's a hell of a lot better than where we were last year. And I spoke to Marcia and Tanya, and I said, you need to provide information. What is it on the road fund? And basically, I just asked them don't give me your wish list, but give me what is, in a sense, a minimal but yet manageable. And I know that Marcia and Tanya did come up with the $12 to $13 million mark. Would that be a saving grace? No. Is it manageable? Yes. Is it minimal? Yes. But at least it gets them to a point where if this legislature were to come up with a transportation package and more dollars flow in, then that's a little bit more icing on the cake. So I think it's important that Alex, you stay communicated with Brett and SDA and find out exactly where this is going, because this is really, it's potentially could be a real positive for Lane County. But I think I think Pete has a I would agree. Let's not get quite in the mix yet, because it may end up that the 10-year bill is something and we sent a letter already supporting this.
Right.
I'm not sure we want to go there. But I think a generic, Lane County would like to work with you on a long-term proposal type of thing. Maybe that's what we can include in this letter along with addressing the short term.
I think we're going to have a very short post-election session in Congress. Okay. I think the focus will be on whether the federal government faces another shutdown or not. I think that the president did not include the PILT in the proposed budget, so the administration hasn't shown a support, and I don't believe there was any SRS proposal either. So we are asking a fairly conservative Republican Congress to add money to a budget that a mainstream Democratic president did not include in the budget. That sounds like a lift to me. Okay.
You gotta be so practical.
And our senator is trying as hard as he can to get us the money, and I think we should back the idea that the payment in lieu of taxes counties, those that receive the money because they've got large amounts of arid, mostly, land, they benefit from this. We benefit from the SRS. We could review, and I tried to do that, couldn't really find anything, where somebody else had expressed this idea simply in a letter, like maybe the National Association of Counties or the California Association of Counties or somebody that may have staff bigger than us to write a letter like that. But that's where I'm headed on this. And I don't disagree at all with what Commissioner Stewart said, that ultimately we're talking about whether or not we're going to see changes in federal land management. I would offer a slightly different perspective on the management issue, and that is you've got increasing evidence coming out that the world leaders are concerned about the overcutting of forests, and they want to have international funding to nation states to restrict or reduce the amount of cutting going on. So we could be in the awkward situation of being a country that has nearly 200 million acres of federal forest land, and we're being asked by international community to contribute money to less developed countries so they don't cut down their forests and they don't contribute to the problems of global climate change. And yet we are asking our own Congress to increase cutting on federal forest lands. It seems to me that the trend is going to be more toward conservation, and that's why I'm so much in favor of going with the guaranteed payment concept that both the Secure Rural Schools program and PILT. And I think Commissioner Stewart's heard this before, but I'll just mention, I worked on the conference committee report on the PILT when I worked in Congress, and I testified in favor of SRS in front of the House Resources Committee. And as Commissioner Lykin noted, we are the biggest recipient of these funds in the country. And when President Clinton signed the bill, I was chair of the board, and I was invited to the signing ceremony in the Oval Office because of the significance to one county of this money. So, you know, I feel like it's a partnership with the federal government. They owe us the money. And that's the way we ought to keep it simple between now and the end of the year. As far as, you know, Congress holding hearings on what to do about climate change and the role of forestry in that and what happens to these millions of acres of federally administered forests, you know, maybe Congress will hold hearings on that. Maybe we'll get in on that. Maybe there will be bills on it. But that's down the road.
Thank you. Then when we get to review assignments, Steve, can you kind of cover what we just came up with for Alex?
Word for word.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, well, good. Good discussion.
So yes, Pat, sir. One last thing. I don't know if there were the head nods on my suggestion in the letter. I wasn't sure of that. If you wanted to address the short term and then, but also include
offer of support.
We're offering up support for longer term without mentioning any sort of
specific
general.
Right. I don't know if
yeah,
the,
that's kind of what I was.
Okay.
I kind of heard that
sort
on
of
the
what
table.
I was saying.
Okay.
So with a letter for next Tuesday for the
just
1 year
more clearly.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex.
I think it's interesting to add. I did hear
change.
A story this morning, Commissioner Sorensen, the same thing about the international community and sort of the focus on forestry. I would note that the way I understood that was that the concern was that the international, some countries have cut down forests and not replaced them with forests. That the issue is that they've cut down forests and replaced them with agriculture. I don't think anybody's expecting in the United States that we would be cutting down federal lands and replacing them with agriculture. It's more, I think we've sort of gone to an established set of replanting and using forest lands for forestry.
That started in 43 BC in England when Caesar arrived, cutting down the forests and not replanting them.
Going back to the
So,
all right,
okay. with that, Steve.
You didn't need anything else?
No, thank you, yeah. Alex. I had a couple other.
Under.
That's all right.
Yes, yes, please. No, we're still on 7A.
My announcement. That was a really good discussion, I think, about all the other things we talk about at the board meetings. And, you know, everything else hinges around the long, year to year, but long-term federal payments. So it was really good, I think, to get your feedback on that. And it's why I brought it to you, because we were sort of headed, we thought it made sense to look at the long-term funding, and I think the board's concerns with that are well placed. So the other thing I wanted to get some clarification on was the request for the item on climate change, best management practices, environmental footprint. We're in the process now of finalizing a report. We've done some analysis, Sarah Chinsky, and our public works department have been working on that effort. We had scheduled that to come to the board meeting for next week. I'm looking at pushing that out till October 7th, and I ask for your patience. Some of these things I know, like the land management item you just took up, we also pushed out a little bit longer. My desire is to try to get these things right by the time they come to you, and that so they, as much as possible, meet your expectations for what we want, as opposed to rushing them to you, and then we didn't sort of get everything right that we should have, and then we got to go back. So I want to say that, you know, where there have been maybe delays in items coming back to the board, I welcome your feedback. I take responsibility for it, but the intent has really been, again, to try to get these things right. So I'm looking at right now bringing that back tentatively October 7th. We are going to have it on the agenda next week. That's what it was scheduled for. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to push it out till October 7th to give us a little bit more time. And we found ourselves in a place where we were focusing really on what Lane County's efforts have been around best management practices, our environmental footprint, our, you know, fuel efficiency, energy efficiency. We did look at the City of Eugene's climate change ordinance, as well as some other state laws that are in place. But I wondered if, at the risk of dragging this out for a really extensive conversation, if I could just try to get a little more clarity around exactly what the board would like to see out of that report, and then if there's a thought about a potential future direction. And I don't need extreme granularity. I just need a better feeling for what you wanted out of that, so that we can come forward with something that is meaningful.
I'll take a first swing at that. One thing that we talked about was what are we doing currently, and a lot of that would come from Fleet and from Mike Johns, who's already done quite a bit of work as far as you know, researching what can be done, what we can do, and
don't leave facilities out of that. We've done significant improvements.
Right. For thank you, Jack.
Energy conservation.
Well, that was my take on it. So, and Commissioner Sorensen, this was you originally on this list of assignments. It has yours and my name attached to it. So, you.
Well, I think that some local governments have gone through a comprehensive process to try to figure out what is their carbon footprint, what is their impact, and what procedures and policy changes they could make in improving their own footprint. Some of this is business process, in that if you spend less money on, you know, fuel, or you spend less money on electricity, you're getting an immediate benefit of saving the taxpayers money. Others of these things relate to whatever responsibility people think they have to reduce carbon emissions and demands. And I think the third dimension is policy. What policies are local governments enacting beyond this, you know, the matter of turning the thermostat from 76 degrees down to, you know, 71 degrees, as opposed to maybe people are more comfortable in the building, the public is more comfortable, maybe the workers, people in the building are more comfortable if it's, you know, 72.5 degrees, but there may be some savings if it's lower. Well, I'm, you know, there are process improvements that could be made. The second is, as I mentioned, is beyond the process improvements, what is the long-term impact? Is it measurable? Are we making any progress towards the reduction, independent of whether it is financially in a short-term benefit? And then third is the policy arena. And all of this is huge. And so rather than spend money on it and decide what we're going to do in these three huge areas, I think this is a scan by you and the senior managers. And it's really not, you know, proposing anything. It's really just telling us the status of this. Where are we relative to other local governments? I mean, I see that other local governments are on the forefront of this. They're using the powers they have that have been given to them by their people through their charters or by their state legislatures. They're using the powers they have to try to be a part of the solution. And quite frankly, there's a huge debate about whether or not local government should even be doing this. Maybe it should be handled at a different level. So for my part, I'd just like to see the words climate change and our response to it as the agenda topic, and leave it to you as to how little or much you want to put into it. I would say put a little bit in faster rather than a lot later, and that way you can get the feedback. The Board of Commissioners, Commissioner Farr and I, want to have this brought up. Having something brought up doesn't mean we're doing anything. It means we're discussing it. So to me, let's just get something in front of us. I mean, obviously, the reason that I was interested in this is I see Eugene in the forefront of this. I see their ordinance as being path-breaking. And we're not across the hall from them, across the street. We're across the hall from them now. So we should be able to benefit from that. But it's not just really a Gene thing. It's what can local government do? What can counties do? What can we do?
We'll see them file by in about 3 minutes, I think. So. Great.
Thanks. What I was hoping to see out of this was an analysis of the city's ordinance and the impacts of that ordinance on Lane County government. Mm-hmm. And maybe some legal analysis also of, you know, how does that ordinance affect us? Do we, you know, because it talks about targets and goals for the city of Eugene, but we have, you know, many offices within the city limits and our employees from Public Works drive in and out of the city. Do we have to meet those goals for our fleet? You know, what impacts those, what financial impacts those may be? That's what I was hoping to get out of this, was a clear analysis of what that ordinance means, because it passed very quickly with very little discussion, and I didn't really see that impact analysis to Lane County. So that's one of the things I'd like to see is, you know, what did that ordinance mean to us as the county government? And then do we have to, you know, and that this is almost the sick leave thing over again. Who has jurisdiction over us? Mm-hmm. Can a municipal government dictate to a county government to adhere to that ordinance? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a legal question. We may not get an answer. I think that still has a lot of debate, because there hasn't been a lot of legal determinations around that since the last one was in the 50s or something like that, and maybe going back to the 20s. That's one of my greater concerns. What are we doing as far as, you know, energy efficiency, reducing our carbon footprint? That I agree, that's all also part of what I'd like to discuss. My greater concern is how are we planning for resiliency? Climate change has been happening since the Earth was formed. Otherwise, we'd still be a molten ball of magma, or we'd be in a ice age if it wasn't constantly changing. And how are we set up as far as being resilient and adaptable to any natural climate changes,
or including ones that could happen with an asteroid or a volcano.
Not so much an asteroid or a volcano. My concern about resiliency also stretches to the fact that we're sitting on a subduction, you know, the zone areas, but there's you know, good practice that we could look at as to how we can be adaptable and resilient.
And the first point you made, Jay, was one of the initial concerns that I had, is how what does the Eugene ordinance mean to the county and how do we respond to it? And I got a confirmation from this at MPC last week from the mayor that the Eugene ordinance is just a portend. It's just the beginning of a series of ordinances as we get between now and the deadline for the that their ordinance prescribes. There'll be other ordinances that as they get closer and perhaps are not achieving the goals, then they'll pass more specific ordinances. that, you know, while Mayor Piercy nor anyone else can say this is what we're going to do, that really is clearly, to me, the direction that's going to happen with the city of Eugene. This is the initial ordinance that will herald other ordinances down the road that are more specific, more direct, and more impactful on other governments and on the community. And I'm not making a value judgment on that. That's just the case. Sid.
So I spoke to Mayor Lumberg about the same issue, and her response was, we have zero appetite for this at this point in time. So I don't expect the city of Springfield to be going down this road. And I think they're more concerned about the UGB issue, and that's a pretty full plate right now. So I don't expect that discussion to be happening in the city of Springfield, the second largest city in Lane County, anytime soon, where Eugene is going. I'm always amazed that about 20, 25 years ago, we called it pollution prevention. I don't know how it got to global climate change, but it did, the narrative changed. But I will say this. I think private business has actually been so far ahead on this issue, addressing these issues. I remember just when I was involved, and when I had my I don't know how many was it, four or five dry cleaners, and you know, I was involved in writing a bill here locally, was involved in writing a national bill that addressed this issue because of what was coming. We understood what was coming down the pike. We were getting ahead of the game and understanding this was going to affect us. California, by the way, I think it's in 2023, we'll have a complete full ban on the use of perchloroethylene in the dry cleaning industry. You're going to have use an alternative source, period. Conversation over with. They banned it. And by the way, the industry helped them write that rule to ban it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just these state by themselves. The industry came in and helped them write that rule. So, you know, I think I like the discussion and what we're talking about. I think the legal piece that Jay brought up, I think, makes clear sense. And I know at AOC, at our Transportation Policy Committee meeting last week, it's kind of the same issue that's at our MPC right now with the scenario planning. Mm-hmm. Our role is put together a plan, report it back to the legislature, but we're finished. Until they come back and tell us to do something different, we're done. The AOC Transportation Policy Committee actually came back because this issue has been brought up as to the straw man's vote, and the AOC came back and said, no, we're not interested in, and this is commissioners from all over the state basically suggesting the same thing that's happening here. We're not going to follow the lead of Portland Metro and JPAC. What we would like to do is just take a look at it, send in a report, and be finished, and not address that. Right now, the way that rule's written, it's only Portland Metro has to do something about it, and our MPO just has to basically plan it, write a report, and send it. But no other MPO around the state is obligated. So, so that's my thoughts, I guess. Right now, it's just I think, in a sense, stay tuned, but communicate with our partners. And I would reach out to Gino and just make sure that what I'm hearing from the mayor is accurate. I would suggest it is. And so if Eugene is the only one interested at this point in time, you know, putting together an ordinance that they have, then that's really that's the relationship between the citizens of Eugene and the Eugene City Council, and not necessarily the Lane County Board of Commissioners. But I think it's always good just to make sure we're staying on top of this issue. And because, you know, we need to be prepared in case the state may want to do something in their future, mm-hmm. So which is likely to happen as well.
It is. Okay. So is that fairly clear?
I think, and we will try to get it on for next week. Everything I heard you say is what we thought we heard you say. So mm-hmm. I just think that kind of, we were a little concerned at the tail end that maybe it wasn't going to meet exactly what you wanted. So I think we're all on the same page.
The last thing I'll add on that is, you know, Commissioner Lycan said 25 years ago it was pollution, and before that it was energy conservation. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a continuum, but it's all issues that we need to address. And back then, when it was energy conservation and pollution, we used a lot of Deming's techniques in asking the people who were doing the work, how can we do it better? And you know, that really is always the best way to figure out you know, incrementally, how can you do things better? It's also the best way to get buy-in from the entire organization. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. May I just add something? Mm-hmm. I pretty much agree with the direction that was given. I just throw out another thought. I've spent quite a bit of time, some time, talking with our fleet manager, Michael Jones, who just received a degree in sustainability. And he has the tools before him to really do an analysis. He'll be able to give us a report on all kinds of aspects of what our fleet is doing, you know, emissions and fuel-wise, miles reduced, whatever it is that we want to do. I was able to, what intrigues me about some of this conversation is that I was able to attend a report or kind of a half-day workshop with Mr. Warren, who works for sustainable cities and or communities, and his focus is around fuel consumption and vehicles and alternative fuels and different things. And he made some pretty good cases where Polk County and some of these other counties are able to convert their vehicles to bi-fuel vehicles and drastically reduce the emissions that are released, and also save money. I mean, Polk County has 7 vehicles that they converted to compressed natural gas / fuel. They went from consuming 100% fossil fuels for their vehicle and gas, and went to an 80-20 split and saved $80,000. You know, and longer life expectancy of the vehicles, a return on investment that was very positive. And you know, if we could take 20 or so vehicles in the sheriff's department, make that transition, and suddenly we have $250,000, there's a couple positions. That's what interests me. And then all the side benefits of less emissions and the things that I think we should be doing. So I'm hoping that, you know, that may not be the conversation or the information presented next week, but I hope that we do get that presented to us at some point, or an option for us, the board, to give direction to do. Because, you know, I was, ignorant of what the city of Eugene did, and our fleet manager says we can meet all of the city of Eugene's requirements pretty easy. You know, we can step up to, B20 or something, and diesel fuel. We can go to a higher blend. E-Web's been at it now for several years with zero negative side effects in their vehicles. Now, there's a lot of things that we can be doing, but it's just practice that we, if you're hypothetically an individual that's used to going and putting regular fuel in your car, you got to retrain yourself to say, okay, I need to stop at the fleet department and fill up with a different fuel. So that's what I hope maybe we'll see in the future.
You have one more item.
Last item.
We're at the noon hour right now. If you all are fine, we'll just continue and continue with the rest of the agenda and then the executive session. Andy, you okay with that?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence. I'll be really quick on this, and I'll say this again next week when we're in Harris Hall, but wanted to share because we'll be launching a new program next week. This is it's called Engage with Lane County, and it's an online tool that we're starting to get the commissioners involved with now, and we'll be able to post questions ongoing about different issues that we're dealing with. Next week and over the next few weeks, we'll be asking specific questions about our strategic plan. This will link directly to the homepage on our website. It allows residents who maybe can't come to a board meeting or an open house or one of our many public meetings that we've had on strategic planning and other issues, that they can go online in the comfort of their own home and provide feedback. So it'll be over the next few weeks, questions about our strategic plan. In the future, we'll talk about things like road funding and public safety funding and those kind of things. So this is, I think, a really nice, another way to add to the level of openness and engagement that we're having. I think it's important, you know, to recognize that the definition of being open and engaging with our residents, which is what we've committed to doing, is not just no cost public records for the newspaper and the unions. That it's also finding different and creative ways to engage with our residents on important issues and then listening to that feedback and incorporating it into our decision making. So there's another thing that we'll be doing. We're also in the process of completely redoing our website to make it more information more accessible, easily accessible to the public. That will take us several months to do, but I'll keep updating you on all of these things that we're doing to be open and engaging and transparent to our residents. And again, understanding that there's a large portfolio of things. It's not isolated to things that are sort of the sole interest of individual organizations. So that was
can you bottle what you just said and say it again later in front of TV cameras?
I'll do it next week. Yeah, in person, I'll be happy to do it. And I really hope that the newspaper and others, other media outlets, have been really good about picking up on our strategic planning and the open houses and the thing. We had television station, radio stations that have come and participated in that. And I hope that, you know, that continues with those meetings and that the Register Guard picks up on those things, because those are really, you know, from our standpoint, positive ways to engage with the public, and we'll find other ways to, you know, notify the public about those opportunities. But we're excited about that, and we think that these are the kind of things we need to be doing, and we're going to do more of.
I'm outrageously excited.
I'd just like to make a comment, Steve. I appreciate that this direction with this website, interactive website. Several years ago, I proposed that we do something similar. And it was really more around our budget process. I am a budget member for the South Plains School District, and we went through some really difficult times with some large budget cuts, and they used SurveyMonkey and invited the citizens in the community to help them make the cuts. It was really nothing more than a learning tool for the citizens. They didn't give any different direction as to where those cuts need to be made, because their choices were very few. But what I see this tool doing is allowing the same thing. We ask people questions, they can make comments, they can give us recommendations. We may be able to do the same thing if we get to a budget component where we engage the citizens from the privacy of their home to give their comments to us. And I appreciate this direction, because it's much needed.
And I think you've had a chance to take a look at the tool, none of the rest of us, I think, have quite gotten there yet, but looking forward to hearing your further comments on that. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Then we'll move along to commissioner's business. Any announcements from commissioners?
Just one real quickly. So Thursday, 5 o'clock, the Morissette Fields, they're 32nd, off 32nd Street, the Willamalane Center. There's going to be additional celebration of new soccer fields being put in, so perfect timing for the Mayor's Soccer Cup, and so that'll be a great time. And I've been invited to speak, as this all began when I was the mayor, and so and beside Mayor Lumberg will be flying back from her trip, so I'm the pinch hitter on that one. So 5 o'clock Thursday, you're all welcome. It's going to be a great event and celebration.
I think that's cool about the Soccer Cup. You may or may not know, I was the second soccer coach at Springfield High School, and we didn't have a field even. We had to build a goalpost out of 2x4s. So soccer's gone a long way.
Being from England, you'd enjoy soccer.
It was this is back in, you know, back in 1974. It was the early days. People said soccer. What, you mean kickball?
You knew what it was.
Fair.
Thanks. I have two items. The first is tomorrow, LCDC will be, I believe, in Harris Hall for the next 2 days. I will be as vice chair of the Local Officials Advisory Committee at, I think, 11:15 or 11:30, scheduled to present the LOAX work and engage in a conversation back and forth with LCDC. But we'd just like to announce that I believe it's 4:30 tomorrow afternoon in Harris Hall. There's really an opportunity for counties and cities to be present and give comments to LCDC. So if that's something that...
I had it through, but maybe...
Three?
Yeah, well, that's where it's in my calendar, but I don't know if I've got
okay.
that accurate.
Well, maybe I better confirm the time, but I was told 4:30.
Okay.
Then the other thing I just wanted to mention, I didn't get to do it in remonstrance, and I really appreciate Sid's comments about Mr. Jones. But just something that maybe everybody in this room knows. If it wasn't for Aaron and Marie, there wouldn't be a track up at Blue River. And, you know, this, it wasn't, they recognized that years ago there used to be a mill there. There was not going to be a mill in the future. And they partnered with the school district and the community to build this beautiful track to enhance the recreational opportunities in that community. And they virtually, you know, there was community members that was able to drive the bus and get the work done, but if it wasn't for the financial, for the donation of land and the incredible large donations of funds, that track wouldn't be there. And it's a community asset now. It is tourism. It brings money into the community, and it has nothing to do with trees. And so I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I'm remiss I couldn't get that out to the public earlier, but I think it's good to, for us as a board, know that.
Thank you. Further announcements? Okay.
I just I mentioned this briefly in some of my other comments, but tomorrow I'm going to be attending a meeting with the Forest Service, CISA, National Forest folks on dune restoration strategies from 3 to 6 down in Florence. So I won't be available for the conversation with LCDC, so I hope some of you all will attend that. Because I really wish I could be. It's one of those things, you can't be two places at once. And then Friday, Steve and I are meeting with the Port of Sayus Law Executive Director and some of the board members down there. So that's what I got going on.
Okay. And we have a meeting today at Willamette Lane, not River Road.
River Road Park, yes, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, the other park district. Okay. Then agenda team request. We have the one that we put forward regarding the letter. Any other requests? Commissioner Stewart.
I have two that I'd throw out there to see if there's support. And the first is I think everybody in this room knows that there is still a car sitting in the McKenzie River up around the Good Pasture area. Island, and this has been a very difficult situation here. You know, it's common sense and very practical that the car shouldn't be in the river, and I don't believe that there's a single person that doesn't want that car out of the river. But the problem that we have here is that the neighboring properties will not give permission to the tow company to remove that vehicle. There's been some communication that it seems like Lane County could declare some sort of an emergency to gain access on that property, but there's no statute that I believe exists that gives us in this instance to be able to declare such a situation and access the property for the removal. I have personally looked into and called a helicopter company to see if it's feasible to do this, to lift that out via their process, and it is extremely dangerous, and at this point right now doesn't look to be feasible to use a helicopter to lift it out. So what I'd like to ask the board, because it even gets more complicated, because the state, there's been three agencies that have made the determination that it's not an emergency or a life safety health issue. It's my understanding through our John Miller, the Sheriff's Department, that the Marine Board doesn't see it as a navigational issue, a hazard. The DEQ doesn't see it as a hazard environmentally, and the Division of State Lands doesn't see it as a hazard. So that even complicates the issue of, does the board, if we even had the vehicle to declare an emergency, what is the emergency? We would need to have some level of emergency to be able to access the private land. So I guess my request would be, can we send some sort of a letter from the Board of Commissioners to the Governor's office? I mean, might as well start at the head, or a recommendation by Mr. Kyler to the State of Oregon requesting some assistance in the removal of this vehicle. And we may send a second letter to the two property owners that would If we could get a permission, maybe we could send a letter to them requesting, as a board, access and assurance that we won't damage their property to get that car out. Is that something colleagues would support? Maybe a couple letters? See if we can get some movement on this.
I know I would, and I know when I was floating the McKenzie in on late August, the folks who own the businesses are actually on the lookout for the car. You know, they not just for sightseeing, but because, you know, people to look at it, but they have to know where the car is, mm-hmm. just to make sure they avoided it, and a lot of it for safety reasons as much as anything, but they did notify, the car's around here somewhere, but I think it's from river level, you really can't see it. When you're up above, you can see it, and so I would support it.
Okay. I would too.
Yeah. All right. My second request is, when medical marijuana was, when we had the conversations about medical marijuana, I asked legal, and Mr. Kyler chimed in that it wasn't legal for a county to add a tax, hypothetically, to the sale of that product because it was prohibited. But there seems to be, my understanding, several cities that have passed, a tax in anticipation that the recreational marijuana might be approved in November. I'd like to ask for support to have staff bring back recommendations as to see if this is an option, and I look at it as maybe a way that we can shore up our public safety system if we could receive some additional revenue, if there's any there that's available. There's some thought that if government body takes action before the election, that it's possible that that action may stand. There's no guarantee, but then it may get removed after, you know, the legislature may remove it or the courts. But at least if we don't make an attempt, we won't know. So I would support having a conversation around that if there's support of colleagues.
It was on my list to ask.
Yeah,
you have my support.
I'm keeping a close eye on Springfield, but I'm in favor. Pete?
On that topic, I think it might be helpful to have county administration or legal get us maybe an email or a memo or something so that if there is a timing issue, you know, the obvious question is, under the proposed measure, can cities and counties, or can counties, or can charter counties place a fee or tax on the sale of recreational marijuana? And can they, if they do impose that tax, can they keep the revenue, and are there restrictions on the use of that? Yeah. Those are all, you know, questions that I don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
It seems like it could be an opportunity for us. So I'm in favor of looking into it, but I think that a memo or email from legal counsel might, you know, be a starting point to see how much more time we want to spend on it. Because if there's a preemption provision in it, which I think there is. But I'm not sure, that would be my guess. Otherwise, if the drafters didn't include that preemption provision, they could effectively limit where the sales occur, mm-hmm. by the level of local taxation that's, mm-hmm. put on it, mm-hmm. to make it, you know, difficult or maybe even impossible for people to buy it. So I don't think the drafters would want to give that flexibility. But maybe they did, because it's a selling point that if your jurisdiction wants to get some of the revenue, they can get revenue. I don't know.
Does that seem that could be wrapped into your request?
Sure.
Part of the information.
And I would add, I've talked to the district attorney a little bit. So he had a meeting together yesterday, and I just on the side asked, and he said, you know, it really gets kind of complicated, because if there's too much tax added to the product, then it might spur the black market to, you know, to flourish, and then there's no money being derived from it, and there's no way to identify whether something was grown and sold in either situation. So it's really, I think Commissioner Sorensen pointed out some of the troubles, and it might be something that's worth including in our conversation, if it's possible. And I think I was more worried about the sensitivity of timing, because if it has to be done by an ordinance, we have certain timelines that have to take place, and so it has to be something that's fairly soon.
Okay. All right. Any other agenda team requests? Then let's move on to a review of assignments. I think are a couple of them.
Yes. The we'll bring back next week the letter to our congressional delegation supporting the one-year re-up of the SRS and PILT payments, as well as the general support for working together for a longer-term solution. We will work on letters to the state regarding the vehicle trapped in the river, and as well as bring forward an item. And I think, did we tentatively schedule this for next week on the marijuana tax discussion? September 30th,
I don't think so. For next week, no.
Do we not? Okay, no. So we'll, that one we'll schedule for a future agenda.
Just remember November 4th is coming fast.
Yeah.
It's not on next week.
If we have to pass it by ordinance, we need 14 days, so I wouldn't wait too long to bring that one.
I'm going to see if we can get it. We're sort of coming up against the deadline for next Tuesday.
I think it's possible to add it to the agenda, because we only have about a half a day.
I thought that came up at agenda.
It didn't, but we did drop 8B from the agenda. It sounds like the best management practices on from Fleet Services.
Yeah, I'm going to see if maybe we can actually bring that next week. But so I'll work on that now and see if we can get that. Because I understand the marijuana tax issue, as well as both these letters, really have a critical timing component to them.
So you're looking at potentially getting marijuana tax on next Tuesday's agenda?
Well, I'll see. Yeah,
okay, all right. And I think I'm wide open to that, so... And did I understand that 8B, which is a report, best management practices from Sarah and Michael Johns on Fleet Services, is that the one that you're moving to October 7th?
Potentially October 7th, okay. But I wanted to see what we heard, so I'm going to go back and see if we maybe still can make some just minor adjustments and still get it on. Okay. If it's not on next week, it will be on October 7th.
Perfect. Okay. Then we do have need today for executive session. The Board of County Commissioners will meet in executive session to conduct deliberations with persons designated by the governing body to carry out labor negotiations and to consult with counsel concerning the legal rights and duties of a public body with regard to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed. This executive session is held pursuant to ORS 192.6602DH, which allows the Board of Commissioners to meet in executive session for the purposes listed above. We reserve the right to come back into public session. I will recess this public session and come.
You might do your recorder on-off switch thing.
Thank you. Then I will recess the public session.